What would you do if you woke up one day and realized that everything you were told and everything you knew was designed to get you to abandon yourself, who you are, what you want, and what you need in life in order to live a life as a people pleaser? Welcome everyone to the Cope and Chill podcast. I'm Ron Martin. Thank you for joining us. If you're watching or listening on YouTube, please like and subscribe. And if you are listening via audio podcast, please leave us a comment. Doing these things will help our show to be seen and heard by more and more people and helps us to get better all the way around. Today we have Urmi Hossain. Urmi is a full-time female worker in the financial services industry. She has been working in this industry for about 7 years, and she comes from an educational background in finance. Besides working full-time, she is a YouTuber, a blogger, and also a self-published author. She's the founder of My Ways, a blog dedicated to empowering girls and women. Her book is called Discovering Your Identity, A Rebirth from Interracial Struggle, where she talks about her own struggle in finding her identity. She considers herself to be Italian Bengali. In her free time, she volunteers for causes such as women's empowerment and giving back to the non-privileged. She is a volunteer for an organization called Speak Up, which fights child marriages in Bangladesh, and for another organization called Women in Leadership, where she's the social media lead. Some fun facts about Urmi: she loves eating pasta and staying active through running, Muay Thai, or HIIT workouts, where HIIT stands for High Intensity Interval Training. But let me tell you about my personal experience with Urmi. Urmi is a very inspiring woman with an engaging story to tell about overcoming heavy cultural expectations that encourage self-abandonment, people-pleasing, and compliance. She has grown into a life of setting personal boundaries, learning to protect her mental health, and putting herself and her needs over and above the expectations of her cultural community. Urmi has blossomed and admits that she is a work in progress, but she also feels she is living a life of confidence, self-empowerment, and strength. I genuinely enjoyed my time meeting and talking to Urmi, and I'm very happy to share our discussion with you here today. I hope that you are as inspired as I was about what Urmi has to say. And as a reminder, please don't forget to like and subscribe and leave a comment wherever you're joining us from. Thank you so much. And now, here is Urmi Hossain on the Cope and Chill podcast. Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining today. We have Urmi Hossain with us here, and she's going to talk about her experience as growing up a brown girl, a self-described brown girl in Italy, born and raised in Italy to Bengali parents, and the culture in which she grew up in, and that she was not encouraged to speak her own voice, speak up, and to share her perspective. She was expected to be this obedient, perfect community girl, and that there was a toxic nature to the culture in which she grew up in. But what she has done is she's found ways to transform herself, to release herself from this culture a bit, and to find more peace and happiness. So Urmi, if you would, talk to us a little bit about your experience as a self-described brown girl growing up in Italy. What was that like? How did it shape you as a person?
Yes. First of all, thank you for having me. And yes, this is how I always like to introduce myself to people. I like to say that I am Italian by birth and Bengali by blood. And I do really like to be specific on that. Like, I really want to specify like how I turned out to be Italian, how I turned out to be Bengali. And I did grow up my whole life in Italy, and my parents are from Bangladesh. And I would say that growing up in Italy as a brown girl was pretty unique, and it was very different, especially because when I was growing up there were not that many people like me. First of all, there were not that many immigrants. So it's not even just like people from Bangladesh, but it's just immigrants in general. And I remember going to school and looking around and always being like very self-conscious that everyone around me, like no one looks like me. Everyone was pretty different. There was probably one or two guys of my age that were like from a different country, but Everyone else was very much Italian, and I went to this school that was very very Italian. There was also a church inside the school, and I remember looking and wondering like, what's this for? Who are these nuns? Like, and I just remember like questioning things. And all my life I had mainly Italian friends. I didn't have any Bengali friends, so I really struggled a little bit in like telling a little bit myself to them, telling them why I couldn't do certain things, why I couldn't go out with them to the cinemas, why I couldn't go clubbing with them, you know, this little thing that everyone of my age does. And then
How did that
I
make you feel though? You're because obviously you couldn't feel probably as included as you would have liked. What did that make you feel like?
know, in a way, I felt a little bit like an outsider, because I remember they would go and do these things, and I would just like, I also wanted to go, but I was so afraid of like asking these things. But I already knew what the answer was going to be, like it was a big no. And my whole purpose wasn't even like to like, you know, find things, but just to see how it is to explore things. And I remember like it was hard for me to even explain it to my Italian friends, because for them it was, because this is how I like to see it. It was a two-way street, meaning that for me, it was a learning process to learn like about the whole Italian culture, but it was a learning process for them too to learn a little bit about me and why I couldn't do certain things or why I couldn't wear certain type of clothes. And so it was hard for them to really understand why I couldn't do it. And sometimes I would just be like, yeah, sorry, I can't, without any type of explanations. And so that was very difficult for me to like explain it every time. And I think through time, my closest friend tried to understand me and tried to learn and appreciate a little bit more like why I wasn't allowed to do certain things.
Sure. Well, talk about why you weren't allowed to. What was it about your parents' beliefs, the culture in which they were from, that they were wanting you to be part of? What was it that was standing in the way of you being able to do those things that you wanted to do?
So like according to the whole like brown culture, South Asian culture, like there is this expectation that girls are supposed to be like well-behaved, obedient, you know, just listen to what your parents say, not allowed to go out, not allowed to like hang out with friends, not allowed to have boyfriends and stuff like that, like not allowed to drink, to smoke, these little things. So there was like girls, women are seen a certain way. They're just supposed to be like staying at home, helping the moms in the kitchen. You know, like if guests come, serve the guests, you know, like listen to them, like be the typical, you know, girls. And also, like if there is something that you're not okay with it, like you're not supposed to be like speak up about it. Like whatever we tell you, that's the right way, you know. So it was very hard to like say an opinion about things. And if I did something like a little bit wrong, there was always a lot of backlash there. Like, and so because of that, I would just refrain myself from doing anything because I was just way too afraid that this would be like an issue. And there is this saying, like the whole brown community, it's what will people say? And so I grew up listening to this sentence over and over again. So if I would say like, oh, I'm going out with a friend, then they would be like, okay, what will people say? And this is not just something that my parents would say, for example, but this is something that everyone in the community would say. And so if there was just a little perception that you were doing something wrong, there was always that question, like this sentence, like, what will people say? What will people say? You know, like as if like people's opinion matter more than anything else. And
Matter
even
more than
the
your opinion, right? The life you're wanting to live, yeah.
exactly. And even though like I wouldn't do anything wrong, it was still an issue. So often like I would do things like behind my parents' back, but it was just it, and it was like a simple thing such as, okay, let's go to the mall. And I would do that with some of my friends. And there was nothing wrong with that. But if I would, let's say, ask for the permission about for that, probably would have been like an issue if someone from the community saw me hanging out in the mall, for instance.
So there's a lot of compliance expectations, a lot of people pleasing, a lot of
Yes.
maybe self-abandonment. Do you feel like it was a culture of shame, that there was a sort of a built-in component of shame into?
Yes, and this is the thing that the whole culture is so much based on the reputation, you know, like our reputation is everything. Like it's so important that you do not ruin our names. And so like I've seen like situation where like other families, they had a daughter, maybe she had a boyfriend, and you know there was so much issues with that, and it was all about the reputation. They were like, okay, what would people think if they hear that you're doing these things? And so, and that comes with like shame, and you know, and everything else that comes after
And a
that.
lot of
So
pressure. It sounds like a lot of pressure to live up to those expectations, too.
yes, there was a lot of pressure to live up to the expectations and just doing everything that everyone says, and just make sure that you know you don't taint our reputation for you know any bad behavior, I would say, but there wasn't anything bad in reality. So yeah.
So you when we met before, you mentioned how But maybe as a child, you didn't necessarily know enough to question any of that. You did as you were expected to do. You behaved as you were expected to behave. But that as you became an adult, you did start questioning things, and you didn't really notice what was going on in the culture there and how and its impact on you until you were an adult. So what began to change inside of you? What did you notice, or how did it come about that you started noticing that this wasn't right for you?
So this, I feel like this whole thing about how women are seeing the community, this whole thing about pleasing people, this whole thing about fitting in, I think it's something that I started to question it as soon as I like started to work, and then as soon as like I found the right people to talk about this.
People outside of your culture. Is that right?
And that's exactly right, because I did not have any Bengali friends. Like I had one, but we were not living in the same country, so it was very hard for me to always talk about this. But we would try to talk about it as much as we could, and I could see that she shared my same views about this. And then when I started to work, and now that I'm like in Canada and I started to work, I met people from different cultures, the people that you know they did not have my same ethnicity, but they had like a mixed culture, so they could understand what I was coming from. And so I would literally just speak up about this with friends, and I could see that, because when I would try to talk about this with people from the community, I could see there was a little bit of judgment there. And so I would not talk about it, because I even though I wasn't saying anything wrong, I could see that there was a little bit of judgment in whatever I was saying.
And the judgment makes you want to pull away and avoid, any
Exactly.
further interaction. Yeah.
Exactly. And then I was like, I'm going to speak up about this with other people. And I feel like that's what opened my eyes about this, that whatever I was feeling, whatever I was thinking, wasn't actually wrong. Because all this time I went to think that I was not normal. I was not normal that I was thinking this way. And so they helped me to open my eyes, and I started to talk about these things to some of my friends, and they told me, yeah, whatever you're feeling, it's totally normal. It's just that you are different in the sense that you grew up with a different mentality.
So in a sense, you got that external validation you were craving that
Yes.
you would have loved probably from your own community and culture, but you got it by going to a place that was safe for you.
Yes. And definitely, like these people, we talk about this like nowadays too. I always talk about this, and they also struggle with the same issues too. And again, it's the whole perception that you just have to be obedient, you just have to do whatever they tell you to do, you have to like please people. And I remember thinking that this was okay. It was okay that you say yes to everyone, that you make everyone yes. But then I started to see how this had a negative impact on how I was feeling. You know, it has, you know, you're just not happy with it. You're literally not ha feeling happy because you're not serving yourself. And I used to think that this was selfish, that, you know, if I just think about myself, it's just selfish, and that's it. But when I talk about this with my friend, she's like, no, I don't think it comes
A
from
place of selfishness, right? Yeah.
yeah, exactly. She was like, it's totally like fine. And I think it's important to like start putting boundaries. And this is where I start to like learn a little bit more about boundaries. I even bought a book about boundaries because I want to learn more about this. And they were telling me that it's okay to put boundaries. It's okay to say no. It's okay if you're not saying yes to whatever they ask you to do. I think it's more important that you build a shield, that you try to build a wall to protect yourself, to protect your mental health and how you feel about this, because at some point it can get really, really toxic. And I don't think people understand this. And even when you talk about toxicity, some people might not like it, but this is how it is though. Like, this is why you have to like put boundaries, and you have to protect yourself from things that are not serving you.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second, because you talk about learning how to set boundaries. Now, you originally talked about how you were in this people pleasing mindset, and you had this tremendous shift to wanting to start to set boundaries and learning to say no. And it sounded like when we talked before that was a bit of an incremental process. But tell us about how you felt the first time you actually stood up for yourself to those in your Bengali culture.
When I first started to put boundaries, it was uncomfortable. I have to tell the truth. It was very uncomfortable, and I was still questioning it, and I still had moments of guilt. And I think it's because of the way I grew up that if you're not making other people how happy, you're gonna start feeling guilty. And I did have those moments of guilt, and I still do have.
But you chose yourself, though. But you chose yourself
But
anyway.
yes, but I chose myself anyway. That's the thing.
I'm sorry, were those feelings of choosing yourself, how did that compare to the feelings of guilt that you have and had?
You know what? It started to feel better afterwards. So maybe in the instant moment, I was feeling guilty, and I would see like sadness in people's face. But then as the days were going by, I was like, no, I actually feel good about it. Like, it made me a bit stronger and started to see myself as not doing anything wrong at the end. And so it started with like little things as like saying no. And I started to learn how to like accept the silence that was coming from the other side. And I think you really have to be comfortable with that.
Yes, that's exactly right. It's because I think there's such a tendency, especially in Western culture, to want to get rid of any feelings of discomfort as fast as you possibly can. But really, if you learn to sit with it, because discomfort's always going to come. We can't get rid of it per se, right, in our lives. And so if you learn to embrace it a little, to sit with it a little bit, it allows you to move beyond it.
Yes.
And oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, go
All right. And
ahead.
how were your friends playing into this as you were going through this, and you were first starting to say no? Were your friends outside of the culture, were they encouraging you, or what was happening there?
Yes, they were encouraging me, and they were actually very proud of myself that I was doing that. Because I think it takes a lot of courage to say no, to set boundaries, and it takes a lot of courage to accept the consequences with that. And so the people that I would talk to, like they were outside of my community, they were very encouraging and supportive of that. Whereas people from the community, they were not really too much happy about it, but I think they learned to accept it. So I think it takes really a lot of time, but at least they've learned to accept it. And I think that I achieved that now. So, but I think it's like, you have to continuously put boundaries, because then the moment you let something in, then it goes starts back again, you know? So putting boundaries is a continuous process, I think.
Yeah, the boundaries are your wall of protection.
Yes.
And as you were saying, the people who were used to you not having boundaries before eventually learned to accept those boundaries. And it's not like they disappear from your life. It's not like they don't stop talking to you. They may be disappointed for a while, but you set that boundary of protection, and that allows you to what did it allow you to do once you started setting for yourself?
You know what? After putting boundaries, I just started to do the things that I enjoy the most and love the most. And it could be like little things, but they do make a big difference, you know,
Yes.
like going to the gym, starting a blog, starting a YouTube channel, you know, writing a book. These are things that really like made me a much more confident woman. And I think they also made me a much stronger woman too, in the sense and feeling empowered. So this like I'm glad that I did put those boundaries, because at least I'm able to like serve myself and serve my body, my mind, my soul from the things that I actually enjoy and find fulfillment from that. So There is satisfaction from these things that I do right now. So,
And so how as you begin to choose yourself and do the things that, fill your spirit with happiness, joy, what are you noticing about yourself? What's changing inside of you? How are you feeling different?
there is a quotation that says, like, I don't remember the quotation now, but it's like I think of myself as a flower that blossoms, and that's how I'm trying, like that's how I see myself, that I'm like literally blossoming because I'm able to like explore myself. And I think there is a little bit of transformation in me. And it's not, I do not just see it in myself, but I can see how people around me are noticing it. Like people that I used to work with, they see things of me on social media, they see things of me on YouTube, LinkedIn, and they actually start messaging me like, "Oh wow, you're doing all these things. How do you find time for this?" And that's how I started to like become aware that you're right, I am changing through the years. And I was actually thinking about this the last couple of days, that when I think of my 15-year-old and who I am right now, I would have never thought that this would be how far I would have come. And I feel like I did accomplish a lot of things in the last couple of years. And my friends from high school from Italy, I'm talking about like ages ago, they also were like, "You know what, you were always so ambitious when you were at school." But I never really paid attention that I was actually an ambitious person when I was in high school. But now when I see it right now, I'm like, yeah, you're right. I am an ambitious woman, and I am like doing a lot of things. And so I can see that I am accomplishing things, and I do feel like an accomplished person too. So I'm happy of the things, how things are progressing so far.
That's wonderful. Wonderful. Beautiful story. Love the transformation. Everything. I know it wasn't easy, but it's so I'm so glad to have met you and have learned a little bit about you. It's fantastic. So tell us a bit about your book and how people can find you. What is the name of your book? And what is it about?
Yes, so the book is called Discovering Your Identity, A Rebirth from Interracial Struggle. And so it's an autobiography, and basically talks about my life in Italy and what it felt like to be a brown girl growing up in Italy. So it's more reflections and introspective reflection of really what it felt like to grow up in Italy. Like I talk about my experience going to a school that was very much Catholic, whereas the religion I was growing up was completely different. Or I talk about like having Italian friends only, and I didn't have any Bengali friends. Or what it felt like dating, which was something that everyone around me was doing, but it was forbidden for me to do. I talk about dressing up, and I would see my friends in Italy dressing up a certain way, whereas for the South Asian culture, we are supposed to be dressed in another way. You know, you have to be like, it's very conservative. You're always
Modest,
usually modest. Yeah, very much covered. So I talk about those things, and it's a little bit, there's a little bit of contrast between the two worlds, between the Italian world or the Western side and then the South Asian side. So I make those contrasts, and I talk about how that was when I was growing up, basically. And the book is available on Amazon for anyone who wants to purchase it.
Awesome. And give us the name of the book again.
Discovering Your Identity, A Rebirth from Interracial Struggle.
Awesome. And you also are on LinkedIn. You have a blog. And what's the name of your blog?
Myways.ca.
Okay, awesome. And I'll and then you have a YouTube channel as well.
That's right. I have a YouTube channel. It's called Urmi Hossain, and I mainly talk about like study methods for people that want to do a designation in finance. It's called the CFA, and I also talk about, I also have interviews. I started to have many more interviews. I invite people that teach languages, that are coaches, and so those are things that are coming slowly. And so I have my YouTube channel, and I'm available. I'm also, people can connect with me also on LinkedIn, and it's just Urmi Hossain.
Okay, and I'll include all of those links, including the link to your book on Amazon in the show notes. So, thank you so much for joining me today, Ermi. You're such an inspiration, and really appreciate everything you had to share with us today. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you were able to take some inspiration or something of value from today's show. To access all of the resources and links mentioned, please head on over to copeandchill.com or our video-based podcast on our YouTube channel at Cope and Chill, where you will find the show notes for today's episode. That's copeandchill, copeandchill.com. And for information about upcoming episodes, check us out on Instagram at copeandchill. And don't forget to like and subscribe if you're joining us from YouTube, and leave a comment wherever you're joining us from. Please come back and join us again for next week's episode. But until then, take care of yourselves.